Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Right. Good morning, Citizen Heights. How's it going? That was mediocre. You have ice cream. You should be able to do better than this. How's it going? Good morning. All right. I want to say hey to CH Live as well. Everybody's streaming online over the holiday weekend. So glad that you tuned in and so excited to get to share the word with you. Are you guys happy? Ice cream makes you happy, huh? Yeah. You're not going to sit back and chill though, right? You're going to be with me. I don't care if your mouth is full. You can still amen. I won't be offended. Let's try a full mouth amen. Let me hear it. All right, that was beautiful, nice and clear. Well, before we get started, we're going to say bye to our citizen kids. They're going to have a great time downstairs hearing the word of God as well. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Ashley Johnson. I'm the campus pastor in Fairfax. If you didn't know, we are one church in two locations. Got the same heart. We've got the same mission. We've got the same vision. We're serving the same Jesus. And I get the privilege and honor to get to serve our amazing lead pastors, Michael and Heather Jarreau, who do an incredible job, not just building the kingdom of God and building the church here in the city, but building incredible leaders and team and investing in the lives of people here. And so I'm just so grateful for their example and to get to do life with the two of them. I also am so grateful for our team out in Fairfax. If you haven't had a chance to visit, you should come visit sometime. But I want to let you know the team there, they set up a gym, actually. We meet in a school, and we transform a gym starting at 7 a.m., unloading a trailer, and turning it into a place of worship. And the team is all in. I'm happy to report that Fairfax is doing well. The culture is strong. We are growing in number. Families are being connected. People are encountering Jesus, and that is in huge credit to an amazing team out there. So they're not watching here, but they might be live if they're traveling. Would you give a round of applause for our Fairfax team? They're amazing. I also want to give a shout out to my husband, Tim, who may be watching online, but he's realistically probably tearing down at Fairfax right now. He leads worship there and is part of the team, and without him, wouldn't be able to serve the church as a pastor, as our family does, and so I'm just so grateful for him as well. So I want to let you guys know, because I haven't met all of you, so I thought maybe I would tell you a little bit about myself. One thing that I think maybe will give you an insight into my world really quickly is that I'm an oldest child. Any other oldest children in here? We boss it, right? We'll tell you what to do. We'll tell you what you didn't know that you needed to do. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be vocal about it. But I've got a picture that I wanted to share of me and my six younger siblings. There's seven of us. I know, it's a lot. You know, what's funny is when I meet other people that have large families and they're like, oh, I have five siblings, I also am like, wow, how do you do that? But for whatever reason, when you're in it, it feels okay. And one thing that's interesting is there's a big age gap between me and my younger four siblings. And so what this means is that when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I had really little kids in the house. And that meant for me that I was automatically cool. So like I got to live my life through my high school days being admired, being revered. It was like I could do no wrong. But something has happened as my little baby children are growing up. They're becoming teens and young adults. One of my sisters is off in college now. And I'm noticing that there is an inverse relationship between their age and my coolness factor. It starts out small. It's like the little signs, the little indications. Like I'll tag one of them in a post on Facebook and they won't respond for months because they don't do Facebook. Or my sisters came to visit me. Amen. I know. We're almost done with Facebook, right? It's over and done. My sisters came to visit me about a year ago, and I had some clothes that I wanted to give away, and they used to steal all of my clothes. And so I'm like, oh, you want this dress? It's so cute, trying to sell them on the dress. And they're like, I don't have room in my suitcase. I'm like, I thought I was, you know, I thought you liked my stuff. So I can tell that something is slipping, but I think that perhaps the clearest indication that my coolness is waning is that I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, they use words where I'm like, I don't think that means what you think it means. Like, I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. And they're ever evolving, these words that the young people are saying. When I was growing up, I felt like we were clear. It was easy. I would just be like, Backstreet Boys is cool. You know? That's simple. It's simple to understand. I'd be like, oh, your shoes are tight, girl. You know? But still, you understand my drift. You get what I'm saying. I'd be like, oh, that's a sweet Beanie Baby. I want to get me one of those. You remember using that word, sweet, and you remember Beanie Babies? Hope you held on to those, worth a lot of money. But now as time goes on, the words are just getting so confusing. And so I try to keep up, but I'm not able to keep up very well. And then as I add some words into my vocabulary, I realize that they're not even cool anymore and I use them in the wrong context. And so I end up saying stuff like, ooh, I went to the grocery store, it was lit. Didn't quite get the reaction that I wanted. And so, you know, I'm opening my mail, I'm like, ah, oh, Tim, this electric bill got me shook. That's not how you say it. I'd be like eating dinner. I'm like, this cauliflower rice, it is on fleek. You know? Cauliflower is bae. Yes! What we do know, this is like a secret insider tip to any of us that are over 30, is you can still say yes. See, you're still cool. It still works. That's the only one that still makes the cut. But I don't know how to talk anymore. I'm not cool anymore. Words are an interesting thing, you know? Isn't it crazy how words have the ability to bring us together or to divide us? Words are powerful. Words carry weight and they carry meaning. And God has a lot to say about our words. You know, we've been in this series called Get Wisdom, where we're exploring the book of Proverbs and what Proverbs has to say about various areas of our life. And today we're closing out the series on the topic of getting wisdom for our words. God cares about the way that we talk. He cares about what we say and what comes out of our mouth. And there's a way for us to speak that doesn't just glorify and honor him, but that actually, the Bible says, is powerful and creative and produces life for you and for others. And so that's what we're going to explore this morning. Will you pray with me? All right. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your presence is in this place. Right now, Holy Spirit, we choose to open our hearts to you, God. We say, come and have your way. Would you speak something through me, God, that is relevant, that is helpful for my own heart and for all of those listening here and streaming online? We thank you that your word is powerful, and I pray that it would accomplish much this morning. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did you know that your words have the power to create life? Your words have the power to create life. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's a big deal. Words are powerful. And we know that words are powerful, and we know that words are creative because we see examples of it all throughout the Bible. Think about back in Genesis, if maybe you're familiar with this story, when the world was first being created, what does the Bible say? It says, God spoke the earth into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created life with words. Words are powerful, and words are creative. In the Gospels, we see a story about a centurion who had a servant that was sick, and he approaches Jesus and says, Jesus, I need you to heal my servant. And he says, but you know what? You don't even need to go back to my house. You just say the word, and he will be healed. He knew that words were powerful. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Your words are powerful. You access relationship with Jesus through confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so our words have the power to create a new reality, a new existence for us that we didn't know was there before. But here's the thing. Our words can create two outcomes. Our words can create life, which is the direction that we want to head towards, or our words can create death. And so this is why it's so critical that we get wisdom for our words, because when we speak, we're producing something, whether we realize it or not. We're either producing life or we're producing death. And so today we're going to talk about how we get wisdom for our words so that we can produce life in our words the way that God intended for us to do. There's a couple of keys I'm going to share with you, but the first thing I want to share is that we have to recognize this whole topic. We have to recognize that it starts in our heart. Recognize it starts in the heart. Your words and your heart are connected. And God cares a lot about our heart. God cares a lot about our heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, because everything in life flows from it. Above anything else that you do, protect your heart, guard your heart, because everything, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your decisions, your priorities, your perspective flows from what's going on inside of your heart. So we have to do a good job to take good care of our heart. And one of the ways that we do that is thinking about our words, because our words and our heart go together. There's another verse in Proverbs that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what that means is whatever's happening inside of your heart is gonna come out through your mouth. You know how I know this to be true? Road rage. Don't lie. We in church. You can't lie. Anybody else experience a little bit of Christian road rage every once in a while? I live in the burbs now in Fairfax. We moved there a year ago. But before that, I was in the city for 12 years and drove in the city, drove to work in the city, and so had my fair share of conditioning of road rage. And it comes out every once in a while. So this was several years ago, a few weeks ago. I had a situation where I was driving and this guy kind of cut me off. He did a quick turn and left about 2 feet in front of me. So, you know, I like to help people along in their journey in life through just some educational tips. And so I just gave him a quick little tap on the horn to let him know you might want to leave a little more space the next time that you do that. Beep, beep, you know? Okay. It was a very friendly tap on the horn. So he didn't appreciate my encouragement, and so he decides to brake check me. You know what that means when somebody brake checks you? Okay, so they slam on their brakes so that you have to slam on your brakes and not hit their car. Mind you, my toe was broken at the time, so I'm in a boot already, late to work and frustrated, and trying to slam on my brakes as this guy is brake checking me. So I'm frustrated, but I'm like, you know what? Just let it go. Just switch lanes. Not a big deal. So I try to switch lanes, and this guy switches lanes with me and brake checks me again. So I'm like, you know, it's not the day. It's not the day. I love Jesus, you know, but I'm like, I'm not the one. I'm not the one today. And so, you know, I'm like, I start laying on my horn. I'm so angry, trying to get around him. And this goes on for about 1 or 2 minutes where he's going back and forth with me between lanes and brake checking me. So I eventually get around him. I eventually get around him and speed up, and I kind of roll my window down and look at him, and I let a couple of choice words fly. I'm like, bless you and your mother in the name of the Lord. That's exactly what I said, because I am a Christian and I am saved by grace and I am redeemed and sanctified. So I don't know what you would have said, but that's how I handled that situation. But the reality is that sometimes what's going on inside of our hearts comes out through our mouth. In that situation, I was not thinking about grace or kindness. I was not thinking about deferring to somebody else. I wasn't thinking about what's going on in this guy's life. What is he late to? What might he be dealing with that's causing him to be frustrated? How can I share the love or light of Jesus with him? I was thinking about my rights, my priorities, my feelings, my attitude. That produced anger in me. And what came out of me were the words reflecting what was going on inside of my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Your words are going to tell on you and reflect the state of your heart. And sometimes it can be like a heart check. Sometimes you don't even know that something's going on inside of your heart until you start hearing what's coming out of your mouth. You know? Like you didn't know that maybe you're feeling a little discouraged or afraid, or maybe you're feeling not full of faith about a situation, or maybe you're feeling bitter towards somebody else until all of a sudden you start to say some things. You're like, oh, okay. I might have some stuff in my heart that I need to take a second look at. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to tell on you. The mouth is going to speak. But there's some good news that the Bible shares, which is because the heart and the mouth are connected, we actually have an ability through our words to get our heart from here, to where it needs to be. So maybe you're in a situation at work, at home, in a relationship where your heart is right here and the words coming out of your mouth are reflecting that. One of the tools that God gives us to help us to get our heart to a healthy and whole and full place is to begin to speak truth and speak the right words in our circumstance to guide our heart. There's this awesome analogy that the Bible gives in the book of James 3 verses 4 and 5. Take a look at the screen. It says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. What the Bible is saying here is you've got this huge vessel, a ship, and there might be lots of different circumstances going on, the winds and all this other stuff, but what actually controls that ship is a small rudder. And the pilot is able to steer it. The Bible is saying the same is actually true about us and our mouth. Even though the tongue is a small instrument, we get to be the pilot of our tongue. We get to choose our words. And when we do that, we get to steer the ship in the direction that we need our heart to go. And so that's good news. If you're having some heartache, or you're having some heart checks that need to happen, one of the things that we can do is begin to use our words to shape the condition of our heart. Isn't that good news? And there's a couple of ways that we can use our words wisely. And so I want to share those with you. The second thing that we should consider as we're wise with our words is weighing what we say. Weigh your words. Weigh your words. This means to consider what you're gonna say. Think about what's coming out of your mouth. There's a time for us to proactively use our words, and there's a time for us to hold back in what we want to say. If you're like me, you kind of want to say whatever is on your mind, and we feel like we have the right to allow our thoughts to come out of our mouth at all times. But the Bible says that's actually not wisdom to speak everything that's in your mind. The Bible says that the wise show restraint. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Our inclination is to say whatever we want, but the Bible says, righteous people weigh what should I say in this situation. Evil people gush whatever they feel like and whatever they think, regardless of the consequences that it might create for others, and allow it to flow freely from their mouth. Really, we have to filter what we say. And I think sometimes we can feel like, oh, they deserved it, or I'm just being honest, I'm just being real. But the truth is, it's not being real, it's being reckless. Because as we shared earlier, all of your words create something. You're creating life or death. For you, for someone else, for a circumstance. And so we get to weigh what we say in what we say and when we say it. Proverbs characterizes what our words should look like. It uses lots of characterizations. It says that our words should be gentle, peacemaking, kind, edifying, beneficial. It should build other people up. It should bring healing. And this can sometimes be a tall order, because we don't always feel like the situation is deserving of the peaceful or kind or loving words. But the Bible says that that actually produces righteousness in you and creates life in a situation. We need to choose to filter our words at all times, and this means even in the difficult situations. This means we filter even if we feel like they deserve it. Because the reality is, maybe somebody has done something to you or said something to you that kind of feels like it justifies a poor response or justifies for you to say certain things. But do you know that the Bible says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God? It says that we're to be quick to listen and slow to speak, because when we gush what we feel is true in a situation, it doesn't actually bring about the righteousness of God. And the other reality is that God is with you and for you and fights on your behalf. And so when there are wrongs that need to be made right, it doesn't mean that we don't speak truth, but the Bible says you speak truth in love. It's the way that you deliver your words that matter. We are always to be peacemaking, kind, loving, gentle, edifying in the words that we bring, even when we're bringing truth to situations, even when we're bringing truth to people. This is regardless of how we feel. We choose to weigh our words and to select the right words for the situation. This means that we also filter our words online, on social medias, the medias, okay? Someone after the first service was like, were you talking about me? I was like, well, was I talking about you? Only you can know. But think about it, like, what if I had an app that could print out everything that you've ever written online, that could print out your Facebook posts, your Facebook comments on other people's pages that you think none of your friends can see, your Instagram comments, the accounts that you've been liking, the emails that you've written, the texts that you've been sending, your MySpace blogs. What if I could print all of this out and hand it to you? Would you feel proud of the words that you're writing? And I mean, maybe you would, but I just want to encourage us to take account for our written word as well, because the written word matters too. And just because you're not seeing somebody face to face and you're not seeing your reaction doesn't mean that it's not producing life or death for someone else. So let's be careful and vigilant to weigh our words at all times, so that at all times we're creating life for other people. And I think the other time that we need to filter our words is filtering what we say to ourselves. Sometimes that can be one of the most challenging things, because nobody's around to keep you accountable, right? So you might say to yourself something about a situation. You know, the last week or so, I've gotten up in the morning, I have this app on my phone that, like, tells you to rate how you feel in the morning. And I keep saying, like, I feel okay. And I find myself waking up and saying, like, I'm tired. I don't want to go to work today. Okay. Well, guess what? I'm going to lead my heart down the path of, I'm tired. I don't want to go to work today. What if I caught that in the morning and instead I said, you know what? I could have gotten more sleep, but this is a day that God's made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. I have a job I love. I have coworkers that I love. I wonder what God has for me to do today. Then maybe I could take my heart down another journey. We have to filter what we say to ourselves, and it can change your reality. It can change your perspective and change your reality. You have to filter your self-talk as well. What you say about yourself, how you condemn yourself. God says in the Bible that he does not condemn you. So you can't condemn yourself or put negative labels over yourself, but align the words coming out of your mouth with what God says to be true about you. We choose to filter what we say about ourselves and to ourselves. That means even when we're having the angry shower conversations. You know what I'm talking about? When you're thinking about how you could have said that other last thing, or that conversation that probably is not going to happen. You're like, and another thing while I'm at it. We probably should filter that out too. So I'm just going to throw that one in there. But let's choose to weigh our words. Let's choose to take every thought captive when it comes into our mind and to filter it before it comes out of our mouth, because there's so much opportunity if we do that. There's so much opportunity to create life, to speak life in situations and people around us. Amen. So we know there's times that we should maybe not talk. There's times to hold off. But there are also times that we should talk. There's times that we should be proactive in speaking the words that God has given us to say. And so the third thing that I want to share with you when it comes to wisdom for our words is that we should wield our words. Wield our words. And by that I mean wield in the way that you would wield a weapon, because the reality is our words are a powerful tool. They're an instrument that God has given us that's able to bring healing. It's able to bring life. It's able to bring victory. It's able to bring encouragement. It's able to be creative in people's situations and circumstances. And if we begin to see our words as the tool that God has made them to be, who knows what we might be able to create for other people? Who knows how we might be able to edify and build up others around us? One of the great ways that we can wield our words is in our relationships with others. We can choose to be generous with encouragement and generous with praise, and watch how it affects people's lives. I have this awesome video that I saw on YouTube a while ago that I want to show you guys, and it's of a daughter and her dad, and their daughter's trying a new skill, and she's struggling with it, and her dad encourages her, and I want you to see how it makes a difference for her. Let's go ahead and take a look at the screens. To bring the very best out of one another. And who knows, a right word spoken at the right time can make all the difference in somebody's destiny, in their reality. You know, sometimes you might have somebody on your mind and think, oh, I know they're going through that situation or that circumstance. They probably have it figured out. But what would happen if you picked up your phone and you texted them some encouragement? Maybe it would make all the difference for their reality and for their situation. If you began to join hand in hand with your friends, with your family, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and help to spur them on to the good things that God has called them to do. This is actually a calling that God has for us. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. We are called to wield our words, to use our words as a gift to inspire, to encourage, to help one another, to build one another up. What would happen if we were generous with our praise? If we were generous with our encouragement? If you thought something nice or kind about somebody else? If you saw the potential in somebody else? That you actually spoke it out loud and begin to shape their reality? You know who's the best at this is Pastor Michael and Pastor Heather. They're so encouraging and always have been, and I model a lot of what I've learned in relationships after their leadership. And I've had a challenging couple of weeks personally going through some things, and I was sharing it with Heather and Michael, and they sent me a note, and I brought it because I wanted to read it to you because it was so nice. They said, "Dear Ashley, we love you, believe in you, and are with you 100%. We know God is in the middle of your details, working all things together for your good and wholeness. You are a beautiful example of the redemptive power of the cross, and we are thankful for you." Get you some friends like that. And you know what happened to my heart and my spirit when I read that? As I was like, well, shoot, I guess I can preach then, you know? I'm a preach today. Who knows how those words might make a difference for somebody in your world? Who knows how you can help to shape or change somebody else's reality when they're maybe going through some things? So why not choose to build others up? Let's choose to be proactive. Don't just sit by and wait for that once a year holiday when you can send a card to acknowledge that the person exists. Let's choose to be proactive and create a culture and an environment that lifts others up, that builds others up, because when we do that, we speak life and create a new reality for those people, for our friends, for our family. So we choose to build others up. And the other thing that we can do in wielding our words is to build ourselves up. As I talked about before, our self-talk matters. What we say to ourselves matters, because we can guide our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions through our own words. And so we choose to build ourselves up. The reality is, in life, as I'm sure all of us know, there's some ups and downs, right? Sometimes we're at the high point, sometimes we're at a low point, and it's just the reality of life. The Bible even says that there will be valleys and that God walks with you through those. But do you know that your words in the midst of those seasons can actually encourage your own soul and spirit and heart while you're walking through it? A character in the Bible that I love who models this well is David. David was a king, and he went through a lot of stuff in his life, lots of ups and downs. And if you read the Psalms, you'll see that he was a super emotional dude as well. There's times where he's like, God, I love you, I praise you. And there's times where he's like, my soul is in the pit of despair. But what he does do, which I admire, is he knew how to speak to his own soul. He knew how to encourage and build himself up. Listen in Psalm 43, verse 5. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He goes from one moment of acknowledging his reality, which is cast down. He's not feeling good. He's in the midst of a difficult circumstance, a difficult situation, and he's not saying that that doesn't exist. But in the same breath, at the same moment, he chooses to say, yet I will hope in my God. Yet I will put my trust in my God. Yet I will praise my God, my countenance forever. And so we can do the same. Through your words, you can begin to build up your own spirit, and you will find as you do that, as you speak out loud the truth of God's word in your life, your soul, your spirit will become encouraged. One powerful way that I want to kind of wrap up with, that we can encourage ourselves and build ourselves up, that we can wield our words well, is by starting with the Bible. Actually using the word of God as a tool, as a weapon to speak life over your circumstance, because the reality is that the Bible is full of promises, of truth about who God says that you are and about what God will do in your life. And so if you're in situations or seasons where you feel like, yeah, I'd like to encourage my own soul or my own spirit, but I don't even have words to say about the situation, good news, God's already written it down for you. All you have to do is use your voice, the most powerful instrument that God has given to you, the most powerful instrument which science demonstrates has an effect on our own heart like nothing else. You use your voice to proactively, out loud, declare the word of God over your circumstance, and you watch how your spirit, how your heart follows along to what you know to be true. I love that song that we sang in the beginning, I am who you say I am. Like, do we believe that? If we believe that I am who God says I am, that God will accomplish in my life what God said he will accomplish in my life, then our heart, our spirit is going to follow when we declare that out loud. And so I wonder if today we can take a minute to remember who God says I am. And maybe some of this is for you. I encourage you to grab onto this. Who does God say that I am? The word says that I am a child of God. I'm not condemned by God. I've been set free from the law of sin and death. I am accepted by Jesus. I am led by God in the triumph and knowledge of Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm no longer a slave, but a child of an heir. I am set free. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. I am redeemed and forgiven by the grace of Christ. I am God's workmanship created to produce good works in Christ. I was formerly darkness, but now I am in the light thanks to Christ Jesus. I am a citizen of heaven. The peace of God guards my heart. It guards my soul. God supplies all my needs. I am loved and chosen by God. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, shout it out if you believe that this morning. We get to choose to wield our words. God has given you a powerful tool, a powerful instrument. Let's not be reckless with it. Let's see it for the powerful tool that it is, that has the power to create life in your very circumstance. And I'm aware that in this room, there may be some people that are going through some things where you feel like there just isn't any life present in the midst of it. And I know that God comes to say that he speaks life to you in the midst of your circumstance. And so I just wonder if we could take a moment to respond right now. Would you join me in just closing your eyes if you're comfortable with that and bowing your head? And I want to first pray for a group of people that might say, you know what, I've been struggling to speak life because of what I've been going through. I've been going through some things and it knocked me out and I really didn't expect it. But today I choose to speak life into that situation. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you all over this room. Yeah, I see that. Amen. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Thank you that your grace is here. Thank you that your presence is here. Thank you that you say in your word that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that you say that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with us, God. We choose to believe you at your word again today. God, we choose to speak life. We choose to say that I know that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We believe it, God. We thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you in advance. And Father, we pray that you would help us to speak truth, to speak life, and to lead our hearts well through this time. In your name we pray, Jesus, we worship you. And even in this moment, I want to pray for a second group of people. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, Ashley, I don't even know that I know this Jesus that you're talking about. Or maybe I did before, but I don't know that I do anymore. The good news is, like that last verse that I shared, God says that you are loved and chosen by him. He chooses you. That means regardless of anything that you've experienced before, regardless of what may have been spoken over you before, regardless of anything that you've done, you are loved and chosen by God. And so if you're in this place today and you would say, I'd like to take that step to start a relationship with God. The Bible says he just waits. God just waits for you to turn to him and say yes to him. And so if that's you, all of our eyes are closed and heads are bowed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just ask you, just raise your hand nice and high so I can see it. If you would say, amen, I see your hand. That's me, amen. I need to start that relationship with Jesus. I believe I am loved and chosen by God. Amen. Thank you. Online, maybe you're saying, that's me. I need to start that relationship with Jesus. You can respond there as well. Amen. We're going to go ahead and pray this prayer together out loud, church. If you could just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I repent of my sins and I receive your love. I am a Christian. Forever I am changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap for those who raised their hand this morning?